Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
I am Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
I'm Mike Lupica, the New York Daily News and MLB.com. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of the Sports Reporters podcast. And guys, for all of the gloom and doom about television ratings with the NBA at the start of the year, we got something, apart from the Christmas Day games yesterday, that is so rare in the long NBA season. We got appointment TV. And it really began for the Lakers when Giannis and them came to town before we found out Giannis was hurt. But yesterday was an event. It was Lakers, Clippers, Staples Center. Clippers had already beaten the Lakers twice this year, but this time it felt like the sides were really even though the Lakers have put some distance between themselves and the Clippers and are really, I think, going to end up with the best record. But what a fun afternoon of basketball yesterday in Los Angeles. Our producer Tyler Brewer is giddy when he feels like the whole sports world has come to LA. But it was a great statement game. That doesn't mean a whole lot. I don't think the Clippers are going to catch the Lakers, but I'll start with you, Ryan. That was fun yesterday.
Yeah, it was. It was fun, and it wasn't real pretty, in efficiency. The 3-point shooting, which is the currency of basketball now, was not good, which always amuses me. But it was competitive. My God, you knew that this mattered to them, and you knew the stakes. It's funny. I was sitting there in the first half. I'm thinking in the first half. It's one of those deals where if you didn't know the score, if you weren't watching the scoreboard, my eyes would have told me that the Clippers were kicking their ass.
Yep.
And in the first half, yet there they were. They weren't doing that, but it just seemed to me that they were doing more. The Lakers were hanging around more than, of course, we all know how it ended. It was terrific. And keep in mind for the Clippers, this is only they've finally gotten together. They had the first time they've lost a game when they had their eight top players or scorers, if you will, playing. They've been trying to get to this point, where they have this group together all season long. So it was a disappointing loss for them. I mean, obviously, I was going to say a home loss, but obviously we know that's a that's an asterisk.
And it sure sounded like a Lakers crowd in the second half.
It did. Although you can't call home court advantage in any of these things. Interesting to watch them.
They do have their own court, though. Did you notice they have the Clippers court? They have their own court.
I think that for me, what stood out about it was, well, first of all, LeBron James has a real good talent for rounding teams into shape at the right times of the season. He's so smart about basketball. He knows when games count and when they don't. And you can just kind of feel the Lakers gelling at this stage. And that's what he's done in years past with teams where he's gotten in different casts, whether it be by joining a new roster or by just having a bunch of new players come in with them. It takes the first couple months to figure it out. They go through some dips, although they haven't had a whole lot of dips this year. And then they round it to form. They did lose the first two games to the Clippers, and there's no doubt they had a bigger chip on their shoulder. They don't want to go 0-3 in the regular season and have everybody say, well, you can beat everybody against except the Clippers. But it was more than just LeBron James, even though he clearly wins the prize and they put the crown on his head, and that's the one they're paying attention to. But guys like Avery Bradley and having 24 points, and the defense that the other guys played on, it was what really won the game. And that says to me that the Lakers are becoming a great team. And you look out, did you have any doubt that when you watched that game yesterday that you could be looking, the winner could very well be the NBA champion this year?
Oh yeah,
a doubt.
Bob, you have from experience, that we can count on that every game the rest of the way and through the playoffs from Avery Bradley. Isn't that true, Bob?
He was the elusive X factor that we talk about so often. You can't count on that. I hope Laker fans are. That was a wonderful gift that he gave them. That's as well as he can play offensively. He's always been a good defensive player. He's a 2-time first team all defensive. He is who he is. And when he gives you, and he has always been able to make 3-pointers, but not in, it's the difference between being a great three-point shooter and being able to make one. And so that was a great game. Yeah, they can't count on that. That was good. You thank him, and you watch him. Just keep track of him the next few nights and see if he even gets a double.
Hey, by the way, Patrick Beverly needs to zip it now. Did you guys see what he said? Does he really think, as he fires spitballs at a battleship, okay, does he really think he's going to get under LeBron James's skin? Because he kept being asked what kind of challenge LeBron James presented defensively. No challenge, he said, and more than once. And then this from one of the stories I read, when the reporter reframed his question, like giving him a chance to reconsider, by asking Beverly to describe what it was like as a defender when James is trying to force a switch, Beverly quickly replied, "Not hard at all." Mitch?
This is the kind of stuff that's going to make this series great when they play seven games. And I just hope it's for the Western Conference Finals and not some fluke happens and they end up meeting around early.
Well, yeah, you're right, Mitch. You got to look at the standings because the Clips are vulnerable. Yeah, they are.
They are. And that would be terrible because I think a lot of people believe that you're looking at the two best teams, although clearly, you're not going to count out Milwaukee, and you really shouldn't count out Toronto. But don't they almost feel like, doesn't it just feel like they play like on another country, you know, and they're just going to come in for the finals? I mean, there's such attention on the West and the personalities of the West. And then there's this amazing record the Bucks have put together. But there isn't the equivalent rivalry in the East between the Bucks and anybody. They're so superior to everybody else. And even when the Bucks play Toronto, it doesn't have the star quality. It doesn't have the interest. It doesn't have the must-see appointment feel that Lakers playing Clippers play has. And so it's a shame that can't be the NBA Finals. But if it is the conference finals, these kinds of things, Beverly mouthing off, Rondo getting toasted, who's gonna match up well? Is Kawhi gonna win the night? Is LeBron gonna win the night? Is Paul George gonna have? There's gonna be so many subplots to this that only come out when teams play one another game after game after game. That, you know, they have a game like this, and then they go off and play, you know, Detroit, and nobody cares. But when you're coming right back 2 days later and playing against the same team, it becomes so intriguing and such great storylines. And, I can't wait for this. I just really want this to end up being the Western Conference.
Hey, Bob, let me ask you an NBA historical question, okay? And you, obviously, with the things that got floated earlier in the year, Adam Silver is at least willing to entertain outside-the-box thinking. We all agree on that, right, Robert and Bimich? Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. If it looks like the L.A. teams aren't going to be going anywhere for a while, Bob, do you think that one of the ideas that will be floated after this season is just seeding everybody 1 through 16 when the playoffs start?
I think that's very much on the table, and it's been hanging out there for years. And
because wouldn't they love to have, as Mitch kept saying, I wish it was the finals. You know, wouldn't they love it to be the finals? They would then be
disingenuous with regard to all their harping about travel if they were to do that, you know, because you could have some crazy first round travel situations. See if they want to do that. But I do think it's on the table. Just to emphasize what you were saying about the precariousness of the Clippers, they're one game up in the AILC, my favorite stat in sports, over the Denvers. They are two games up in the ALC over Utah, and they are only four games up over both Oklahoma City and Houston in the AILC. All right, for folks who, that's the all-important loss column. You don't worry. You don't ever think that anything else matters. It's all I ever talk about and all I care about in baseball. Don't tell me about 8, 6.5, 5.5, 3.5. Loss column, that's it. How far behind are you in the loss column? That's all I want to know. And so this is it. They are far from home free, the Clippers, in terms of nailing down the second seed. That's all I'm saying.
Bobby, here's the thing, okay? They could easily fall into the 3-6 game, okay? And the 3-6 series could be against the Rockets or the Mavericks, and they could easily fall into the 4-5 series. And right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who we're going to get to, because what Chris Paul, as an on-court leader, is doing has been spectacular this year. Oh, no. Guys, for after the Clips and the Lakers, Nuggets, Jazz, Thunder, Rockets, Mavs, okay? Forget about the Grizz in eighth place. That's a minefield for these teams.
Yeah, and by the way,
I want to say one more thing about the Lakers before we move on, Mike, as you indicate. I saw Steve Kerr when he was talking about Steph Curry coming back, which, by the way, was very quick, and then he went out with the flu. But he made a comment that stuck with me with regard to LeBron James. And he was talking, of course, about Curry and Klay Thompson and what they'll be like next year. And he said, look at LeBron James this year. Doesn't he look like he went back in time 5 years? And he said the cumulative effect of going to how many straight finals did LeBron go to? I can't even keep eight. Going to eight straight finals and then having a year where you don't. And where you don't even make the playoffs and you're just out of it. And you have that time not only for your body to heal, but for your mind to just get out of the pattern of every year we go to the finals, I'm only thinking about the finals, and to refocus on a regular season. I think he's 100% right. You are seeing a different LeBron James this year than you saw last year. Even though he had every reason last year to be in L.A. for the first time and to put on a show and everything like that, you know, he got injured. It didn't happen. Everything was a disappointment out there. You see a different guy. And there is a value to having skipped that year that will only make itself fully known in the deep depths of the playoffs this year. But if LeBron James wins the finals this year with the Lakers and talks about, you know, wow, now that I look back on it, you know, that was the best thing that ever happened. Can you imagine what people are going to be thinking about the Golden State Warriors next year when they're all healthy and they all come back and they still got that trio of great players, plus they've added Wiggins and some other guys who obviously are doing okay. There is something to be said for missing a year, and I think we're seeing it in James's play this year.
Well, not that it was a choice. I mean, what it comes down to is the talent around him and his own health, which, you know, at this time last year, he wasn't playing or hardly. And, you know, and you're the one that called it in December of 2018, Mitch, about the groin and all that, you know. And be careful, folks. This could really be a major lingering problem, and it was.
Just health, Bobby. It's more than just health. I mean, obviously that's huge, and it's more than just teammates. It's motivation. I mean, you just see it in him. Doesn't he just look younger?
Is there the slightest doubt that this weekend when he was confronted or he was, you know, with the all the presumptive heirs to the throne, starting you know, right, with the young guy who was returning MVP plus Kawhi Leonard, who has been often acclaimed as the best player in the game over the last couple of years on the other side. Oh, my God. And this didn't stir his competitive juices. And the way he took over that game down the stretch and in the old-fashioned way, he went to the damn basket. Thank you very much. You know,
the game ender. Bob, the game ender. He took it to the basket for an and one.
He wasn't ending. He wasn't hoisting threes. He was going to the basket. Oh, God. You know, he has such a timeless game. He is an amalgam of Dolph Shays. That's what Dolph Shays would have done. Okay, seriously, I'd like to have superimposed some, if there was any grainy video there and, you know, somewhere of Dolph Shays in the 1955 finals for the Nats against the Pistons, which is what it was, taking it to the hoop and getting an and one. Dolph Shays, by the way, the only man in the Hall of Fame who had more career free throws made than baskets. Tells you the kind of game he had. Just think about that for a second. And he also, by the way, would have been a three-point shooter with his two-hand set shot. But point being, Dolph Shays, I'd like to have just superimposed him going to the hoop with LeBron, and you would have said, oh, my God, 60 years later, and it's the same damn game.
Well, I'm very excited as an upstate New Yorker to hear about Dolph. But here's the thing about LeBron. Okay. And I love Kawhi Leonard. He may very well win a championship with his third team this year. But I don't want to hear when both of them are healthy, and even though one of them is 35 now, and the other one is what? Kawhi's 28? 28. LeBron James, not only the best player now, he's the best all-around player of all time. We saw it yesterday, and I understand that Kawhi looked tired yesterday. His shot was short, especially in the second half. He looked like he had no spring in his legs. But There's still one guy, and then there's all the other guys, okay? And I always ask this question, okay? Take him off the Lakers and put him on X, okay? All those guys, Mitch, all those guys we just talked about in the West, all those teams in the Western Conference, okay? Put LeBron on the Jazz, the Thunder, the that, and guess what? They become one of the favorites to win the NBA championship this year.
I mean, when his legacy is finally written, that will have to be very high up. Is what his ability to transform teams when he joined them or when new players joined him. Unlike, you know, the criticism we've given of other superstars over the years in this program, like a Carmelo Anthony, which Bob's favorite mantra is, he doesn't make anybody better on the teams that he goes to. LeBron James is the opposite. He makes everybody better. Early in his career, he made them better to his own detriment. Now he's managed to make guys better while still being a leader and still not taking away from his own game. And he's doing it again in Los Angeles. You know, this is, he got Anthony Davis, and that's a gift. And you can't describe how big a gift that is. But everybody else on that team, they're not Chris Paul. They're not James Harden. They're guys who on other teams are not going to be as good as they're playing with the Lakers. And the reason they're playing this well with the Lakers is because of LeBron James.
Yeah, Mitch, Mitch and Bob, when's James Harden ever made anybody better? You know, we can go through the list. But before we continue, because we're going to talk about a guy who is making everybody better. Before we get to that, and that is Mr. Chris Paul, a reminder that today's episode is being sponsored by Geico. Listen, everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning. Pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket, it may just be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Guys, Chris Paul, I believe, I can look this up while we're having this conversation, I believe is the same age as LeBron James, okay? And when Paul George left Oklahoma City, and Chris Paul ended up in Oklahoma City, it wasn't like he was being banished to the hinterlands. And I thought maybe the Thunder could be a 7 or 8 seed. What they are doing for Coach Billy Donovan is one of the stories of the year in professional basketball. And guys, it has to start with the high level of play with Chris Paul, who is reminding everybody how, you know, it wasn't so long ago that people talked about him as the best point guard in the game.
Michael turned 35 in the middle of the playoffs in May.
Okay, so they're basically the same age.
Yeah, and LeBron, his birthday is 30th of December. He just turned 35. So that's a very good point. By the way, if Chris Paul continues this play, Mike, if he continues to do this, he might be able to get a commercial.
And he did it to your team last night, Ryan.
Yeah, he sure did. Oh, you know who did it? Dennis Schroeder, who was one of the more intriguing players in the league. Dennis Schroeder, that's another story for another day. Yeah, Chris Paul. Chris Paul has certainly, this team, in the whole story has been suppressed. We've had different storylines in the league. No one's talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder and the amazing job that they're doing. And, yet another big win on the road yesterday. Yeah, and when it comes to playing this position, you know, he's kind of got it down. He knows what he kind of understands that point guard position. And, of course, the defensive prowess, the quick hands and all that, creates the winning play yesterday as they beat the Celtics in Boston. But, Chris Paul, and it is good. You know, we go back to, you know, how about the what-ifs in history, you know, if David Stern had not allowed the trade, you know,
right,
vetoed the trade. But, you know, that's...
Hey, Mitch, you think Russell Westbrook would rather be playing with Chris Paul right now or James Harden?
Yeah, well, in terms of getting the ball, there's no doubt about that. But Dwayne Wade shouted out to him not too long ago, calling him the best clutch player in the league. While that might be hyperbole from a friend, he's pretty damn good, you know, and that's always been a strength of his. But to see him go, you know, he's basically averaging like, I think, 3 points, 2 or 3 points more than he did last year. He shot like 42% last year. He's shooting 49% this year. To see those kind of numbers go up when you're turning 35 as opposed to going the opposite direction with each year, that's really impressive. And clearly he's happy you know, where he is there.
And he looks like he's having a ball, Mitch.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you
know,
you can see it in the way he plays.
It's a cool place to play. It's become one. It's a college atmosphere there, and it's really a fun place to show up to work every night. And obviously, Billy Donovan has settled in. His long answered any questions about his ability to transfer his prowess from college to the NBA. And, you know, he's now a seasoned veteran coach. You know, they're a nice story. They're a very rootable circumstance. And I still, and every time Stephen Adams, he just freaks me. I just love Stephen.
Greatest player in the history of New Zealand, right?
Just love him. Just love him.
All right.
Plus every time he opens his mouth, that's great.
Before we get to it, sparkling management decision by the Brooklyn Nets that shocked the crap out of me over the weekend. I just want to talk to you about the race the one race that I keep talking about that only I care about. The Raptors are two games ahead of the Clips in a loss column, but here's a better one. Zion, they won again last night. They are now four games out of the eighth spot in the Western Conference. Guys, all I'll say about that is this. So we could end up with the Lakers against either Ja Morant or Zion, okay? First draft choice and the second draft choice in the first round of the playoffs. That wouldn't be so hard on the eyes either.
No, neither one. Great. But Zion, of course, is one we're all us neutrals are rooting, you know, for them to come on. But believe me, I'm a member. I'm a paid up. I have the card to prove it, guys. I'm a paid up member of the Ja Morant fan club as well. Don't worry. So that's
Mitch,
were you surprised? Were you surprised when you went online or whatever on Saturday morning and found out that at this point in the season, and basically having not had Durant or Kyrie this season, the Nets fired Kenny Atkinson?
Well, didn't they just give him a contract extension?
He's been
like
great
a year or
there.
Two ago.
I got a parting shot at him. He's been great there.
Came out of nowhere. I mean, absolutely positively came out of nowhere.
The only thing I thought when I read that story is, okay, they have been already talking about what the team's going to look like next year. And when Irving and Durant are healthy and all that, and who's going to be the right coach for that? Maybe they even talked to those guys and said, who do you want? There's a rumor coming out here now that Kyrie Irving wanted Tyronn Lue. I don't know if there's anything to that, but I've already seen that printed.
And who wouldn't want Kyrie to pick the next coach?
Right, exactly, because he's the most stabilizing force you have. You know, once you put him on your team, you can count on him forever. I mean, you know, he is reliable is his middle name. So I don't get it. You know, and here's the third thing I don't get about it, Mike. Why was Atkinson so acquiescent about it? I mean, the whole shade that's been thrown on this is it's a mutual decision. Who has a mutual decision? What NBA coach do you know with 20 games to go in a season where you're in the playoffs decides, you know, it's probably time
for me to... And with a chance to coach Durant next year, Mitch. And looking at Kevin Durant getting healthy.
Forget about next year, Mike. Forget about next year. Next year, of course, you're obviously right. Who wouldn't want? Every coach in America would jump at that opportunity. But what about this year? You're the seventh seed right now in the playoffs, despite the fact that you haven't had your two superstars. And most coaches are just burrowing down. How do we make the play? Who starts to think about, like, big picture, whether I belong here or not? So there's more to this story, clearly, than what went on. There has to be. This is just, it runs against the DNA of every good NBA coach I've ever known.
I've spent this whole tenure, you know, I didn't know anything about him when he got the job. He's one of those anonymous faces that are dotting the league at head coaching jobs, you know, all over the place. Guys that we don't know who they are, and they get these jobs, and all right, fine. And reading the New York papers faithfully and reading the tributes he's getting and the praise he's getting and the good last year, they were a really feel-good team and this and that. And you know, this kiss totally blows my mind. It has to do with the future of,
Again, I'm going to touch on this because I think he'll be employed,
is what I'm going to say.
Here's my thing, okay? I think this is the owner, okay? I think Sean Marks might have fallen on his sword a little bit on Saturday, okay? But I think we've got a new owner, Joe Tsai, one of the richest men in the world, now owning the Brooklyn Nets, okay? And guys, this just screams to me that they're looking to make a big ticket hire for next season, as you know, and you know, I mean, of course, guys, when did Tom Thibodeau become that? Okay, and I like Tom Thibodeau, and I have a lot of respect for him, but I think, you know, Jackson, Van Gundy, Thibodeau, I even saw somebody suggest that old Pop may want to have one more.
Frank Isola
said that, right? That Pop may have, he sees the end of the road there in San Antonio. I know he's in his early 70s now. Yep. And now, if they have a chance to get Pop, that's different, okay? But I this just smacks to trying to draw as much attention away from the Knicks before Durant even takes the court with a coaching hire like that. That's one thing.
I also read, Mike, and you tell me if there's anything that the Knicks would consider Atkinson.
Yes. No, Mitch, he's great. And, you know, it's funny. He worked for the Knicks at one point. And one of the things I had forgotten, he was one of the guys who had a lot to do with the care and feeding of Jeremy Lin during Lin's sanity, which is one of the few bright moments for the Knicks in the last two decades. No, he's widely respected. And that's why, you know, it's coming from the management side when you say, oh, yes, the players were unhappy there. Oh, come on. Come on. Nothing about this guy had been anything but good from the time, by the way, when my party shot, that he rescued one of the lost boy franchises in the sport who had traded away all their draft choices and were supposed to be doomed for years to come.
It withstands scrutiny here. No, it's a shocking story. It came absolutely out of nowhere. Totally.
All right, time to take a shift to the type of basketball that doesn't pay its players over the table anyhow. Oh, and that would be college basketball. But before we do that, a word from our friends at Kronos. Kronos knows that, like many organizations, maintaining a modern workforce of hourly, full, and part-time workers can be a challenge. This is especially true for human resources professionals working hard to attract and retain all the best talent. That's why Kronos put HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping on a single cloud-based platform. It's one specially designed to give HR professionals supporting a blended workforce a whole new level of confidence. With it, they have everything they need to tackle nearly any human resources challenge. And they're empowered to not just find and hire the right people, but to engage, motivate, and reward them every step of the way. You can learn more about Kronos HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. All right, so the regular season of the NCAA basketball is now done, and now begins what feels like, I don't know, I have to say I'm not a massive fan of tournaments for the conferences, just because it just feels like this extra added thing that then you get to the ultimate tournament and you end up having guys winning their league, winning their conference, and then they go into the tournaments and they lose in the first round and someone else wins the tournament. And then it's like, well, so who's the real champion of the conference? But this is the way that it goes. And it's been an unusual year for college basketball. I mean, if I were to tell you at the beginning of the year, Mike and Bob, that it was big news that San Diego State and Baylor lost over the weekend and could affect their number one seeding, you would have said to me, are you reading somebody else's, you know, some other country's paper? San Diego State and Baylor, and we'd be worried about that. But that's what happened this weekend. That's where we are.
That's exactly where we are, and that was such a coda to the season that it's been, that we had two presumptive number ones going down the other day. So that's been thrown wide open as to who's going to get these number ones. I found it to be Mitch, the conference tournaments are money grab and for the big boys that have them. And we know that. And once upon a time, when we all grew up, there were two conference tournaments only, the ACC, we thought, and lesser known, the Southern Conference. Now everybody, and the Ivies were the last ones to come around, and in true Ivy fashion, they're doing it in their own way, which is only four teams involved, period. And that's it. And that's the only tournament like that in the country. Anyway, that's what, you know, this is the deal. Everybody lives with it. You know this. If you're in one of these so-called one-bid conferences and you had a great season and you're the regular season champion, you damn well better win that game, win that tournament, or else you're going to sit home. And that's what's going to happen to somebody. So
I have my new favorite team, Ryan.
Go ahead.
My new favorite team. It is Utah State, and Sam Merrill.
Sam Merrill.
Mitch, if you haven't seen the shot he made to beat San Diego State, it was awesome. It was, he knew where the clock was. He got his shot. He knocked it down. They are, I don't even know if they're a sleeper anymore, Utah State, because
they were bubble. They were bubble. Now they're in. And San Diego, that means that somebody else is, and thank God, one of those, mid-level 500 big conference teams is going to be out now as a result of this happening. I always love that.
And yes, just when I was ready to proclaim, what an interesting week for Kentucky, because Kentucky's, stop me if you've heard, they're loaded. And here's, Mitch, here's the thing about Kentucky this year. They can make their free throws, and it has been a huge deal. They did blow the lead to Tennessee the other day, but I don't know if you guys saw any of it. The Kentucky-Florida game on Saturday was terrific. And this is an extremely talented, but not a word that I've always used with Cal's teams, a poised team. And it will be very interesting to see where they are seated when this whole thing lays out.
And they played that game without Hagans.
Something happened there, Bob. Do we know what happened between him and the coach? Because
no,
he didn't even make the trip to Florida.
We'll have to keep our eye on that one, because they have the best three-man backcourt, triumvirate in the country with Quickly and Maxie.
Is that
and
a great name, by the way, Mitch? Quickly?
Oh, Quickly. Emmanuel with an I, Quickly.
Let me ask you guys this, though. Okay, in a year where the most unacclaimed names have been dominating college basketball, and where the final sort of rankings before we go into these tournaments, while they contain Kansas and Gonzaga, who are two regular staples, you then start moving into names like Baylor, Dayton, San Diego State, Florida State, which is much better known in football, and Creighton. But when all is said and done here, because I've noticed that over the years that coaching does kick in tournaments, and experience does kick in the big tournament, in the big dance. You got Duke at number 8 and Kentucky at number 10, Michigan State, who's been coming on, and they won yesterday a share of their thing, at number 11. Do you think in the end, when we look at the Elite 8, that we're going to be looking at the Blue Bloods all over again, and that a lot of these teams that have been flying up high near the top of the rankings are somehow going to recognize that program-wise, they're not the same as the Dukes, Kentuckys, Michigan States. We'll end up seeing the same regular characters, even though we haven't seen them during this year.
Mitch, you must have been invading my mind. I've been thinking about this now for a couple of weeks after all the hoo-ha, and I've been reveling in the idea of the new guys and all the little guys. But it could very well happen, because the problem is there is just no great team. There's so much equality, and you're right. In the end, maybe pedigree will prevail in these matters. It could very well happen. I hope it doesn't. I would love to have. I think we'll have one outlier for sure. I think there'll be one. There'll be one Loyola. There'll be one George Mason. There'll be one Wichita. There'll be somebody. At least one. But I would love to have it. To have at least two. That would make me very happy. And then maybe a championship.
But here's the
game.
Thing. Here's the thing. And Mitch, we're touching on something that is essential, okay, as we go into the tournament. And you know me. I love it. I took my sons to 15 Final Fours, but Bob knows this. I love college basketball, okay? This particular event, to me, is one of the most overrated in the country. It's a sport that, for most people comes alive for about 19 days every year. Okay. They know hardly any of the players going in. They will know hardly any of the players this time. But in terms of drawing people into the tent, especially the first weekend, where all you see are oceans of empty seats at some of these arenas. Yeah, they do need the big names. They want Duke to do something. Even UCLA, Mick Cronin is doing a terrific job there. Maybe they finally found another good coach at UCLA who can lead them back to the Final Four. They want Kentucky, okay? We've talked about this for years, guys. And I'll direct this to you, Mitch. Everybody loves Cinderella up to a point, because if you got too many Cinderellas early in this tournament, it screws you at the end of the tournament.
Well, in terms of ratings,
a final four of Creighton, San Diego State, Dayton, and Baylor is going to get a lot of people to turn on the TV. But I'm not even thinking about what they, the proverbial they, meaning the NCAA, TV ratings, all that, what they want. I'm thinking about what they, as in the San Diego States and the Daytons and the Creightons and the Baylors, can actually do in this tournament. And I do think that pedigree counts, Bob. I think that in moments where you get down to the last minute of a game, you look over and you see Mike Krzyzewski's coaching you, or you look over and you see a guy who's just thrilled to be there, and it makes a difference. And the decisions that they make differences. And these are young players who are still nervous and, you know, who haven't necessarily been to this kind of stage. So I you know, we'll find out in two weeks from now. I guess we'll find out who's going to survive to that final weekend. But I would not be surprised if in the Elite Eight, let's say, six of that Elite Eight were really, you know, proverbially elites, even though they might be ranked in the second 10 right now, like a Michigan State. Like, it would not surprise me at all to see Michigan State get to the Elite Eight. It wouldn't surprise me to see them go to the Final Four. But yet they've lost nine games this year. You know, that's a lot of games for them to lose. But there were reasons during the year, and there were reasons for some of these other programs and Duke and Kentucky and all the rest. But if they round into form as they get to the tournament, I have every expectation that they'll be there knocking on the door for the Final Four.
Before we leave college basketball, I just want to point one streak will continue. There are four teams who were in playing basketball when the tournament started in 1939 who have never made an appearance in the tournament. And one of them, I thought, had a shot this year. I was rooting for William and Mary to get off the schneid. They did not. They went down in their conference to Elon yesterday, and they're out. So the four teams are themselves, Citadel, St. Francis of Brooklyn, and the Cadets of West Point. And that streak will continue.
Wait till next year.
All right, listen, before we get to the ongoing implications of the coronavirus, I want to tell you about our new friends from Mack Weldon. Okay, shopping for men's underwear and socks can be overwhelming. Trust me, this is the kind of thing that overwhelms me. Finding consistent fit and quality can be like a game of roulette, but not with Mack Weldon. They have a simple mission: make sure all your basics are smartly designed and that shopping for them is easy and convenient. Mission accomplished. Mack Weldon will be the most comfortable socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants, sweaters that you will ever wear. In fact, they're so sure of it, if you don't like your first pair of underwear, you can keep it and they will still refund you your money. No questions asked. Okay, I have now had my first shipment of Mack Weldon stuff. And I have to tell you, I thought it was just underwear and socks. Oh no, the underwear is off the hook. They're great. But I have a V-neck sweater, what they call their tech cashmere, that has immediately become my favorite article of clothing. And I'm a t-shirt guy, and often just a black t-shirt guy. The t-shirts are they wash great, they fit great, they look great. And I'm telling you, you're going to love the underwear and the socks and all that stuff, okay? This sweater is awesome. And let me tell you, Mack Weldon really does value its loyal customers. So much, they've created the Weldon Blue Loyalty Program. Here's how it works. Create an account, totally free. Place an order for any amount and never pay for shipping ever again. And once you purchase $200 worth of products, you'll save 20% on your orders for the next year. Plus, you'll get access to new products before they're released to anybody else, as well as free gifts added to future orders. Now, if you want 20% off your very first order, just go to MackWeldon.com and enter promo code reporters. Again, MackWeldon.com, promo code reporters. MackWeldon.com. And I don't want you to forget this because this is great stuff. Promo code reporters for 20% off. Mack Weldon, reinventing men's basics. Guys, I've got a son who works at the Tennis Channel. They were gearing up big time for the tournament at Indian Wells, which is one of the very biggest men and women, both their tournaments other than majors in the tennis year. It got canceled yesterday. It got canceled because of concerns in Coachella County about and it's again, we don't know where this is going. I don't in any way try to act like an expert on this virus. I'm not an idiot. I can see what it's doing to the stock market, the political discourse. But we talked about this the other day. It is going to affect sports. I think it is going to eventually affect sports profoundly. We just don't know how profoundly, except in the world of tennis. This was a profound decision made on Sunday.
Well, we had already, we've had a Division III situation at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore where they played host to Yeshiva and Worcester Polytech without fans last weekend. That's had we also upcensored RPI, Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, will be playing Harvard in an ECAC hockey with no fans for two nights because they have two out of three coming up. We're coming there, and there were, you know, I've been saying for a week now the NCAA hasn't said anything out loud, but they've got a regional. Sub-regional in first round games in Spokane. Now, that's the other end of the state from Seattle, but it is still the state of Washington. I'm wondering what they're thinking about. Now, they've got a first round situation in Albany, which happens to be the same locale as RPI. So stay tuned, folks. There's a lot of uncertainty out there.
Well, Bob, what you're kind of hinting at is what I am on the lookout for here now, and that is now that some sporting events have started to cancel, when does it become sort of a looking across the way at one sport at the other, saying, well, you're being irresponsible, or mm-hmm. fans saying, well, that sport is being irresponsible because this sport over here did it. The Indian Wells tournament was canceled because one person in that area had a confirmed case of coronavirus, okay? One person. Now, you're going to start getting into very quickly, because social media will do it. Well, wait a minute, they canceled a tournament, one person in that area, but how many in the Spokane area, or the greater, how many in this or that? And now there's going to be pressure on different sports to act responsibly. And believe me, this is happening very fast. And the stock market thing, which is going on today, as we're recording the show here, who knows what it's going to end up being at the end of the day. But when a stock market opens up so far down that they have to close the market for 15 minutes to let everybody calm down, you are talking about a reflection, because that's all the stock market is a reflection of mood, a reflection of national mood that certainly is going to permeate sports. If it's already permeated the stock market, if it's already permeated people's vacation plans and whether they're going to go to a cruise or whether they're going to go to an amusement park, sports is not immune to this. And at some point, the NCAA, I bet you before this tournament is over, because it feels like it's getting red hot really fast. It feels like the coronavirus fever, which shoots up to 103 when you first get it. I wouldn't be surprised if by the second round, they're not taking a lot of heat for not canceling some of these things. These are indoor tournaments where the germs have no place to go. You know, you're handling tickets, you're handling money, somebody behind the counter hands you your beer and you had in the cup. There's 100,000 physical interactions that you could have that could spread germs, not the least of which is the guy sitting next to you in the stands coughs. So I see this happening a lot sooner, Mike, than later. I see this within a month. You're going to have a lot of things canceled, and you're going to have a lot of sports and politicians and critics and social media critics saying, why aren't they doing the responsible thing and canceling this?
Yeah, I mean, they asked the president about rallies the other day, when people get bussed in and get to these holding centers and then they go on to the rally. And he said, no, we're going to keep doing it. Well, we'll see about that. And is it completely insane to think we might, you know, Mitch and Bob, to play off of what Mitch just said, that we might turn on a tournament game and see an empty arena?
Oh, no, I think it's very possible. I mean, very, very possible. And we're heading to it. We've scraped the, you know, we've taken off that Band-Aid already. And there it is. I've told you it's already happened. And we all know the tennis thing is a big story. No, it's going to happen. Yeah. It can happen.
And I mean, you know, let's face it. I don't know the exact ratio, but so much more money comes into the sports through television that's the thing they can't break in terms of economically. And if they have to forego the box office, which is a significant part of sports, but not the only part, and not where the money is guaranteed that they would have to give back to people, because you don't have to give back money to people except your ticket money. If they haven't bought a ticket yet, you don't owe them anything. But the television money has been given to them. And the spots that were supposed to run on those television broadcasts are what prop up many major sports. And if you're suddenly not having the sport, you got to give that money back and make goods, and that's big economic dollars. So don't be surprised if we see a lot of sports continuing to play the actual game, but just sacrificing the fans.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just leave it. I'll throw this to you guys, and then we'll move on to parting shots. But Mitch and Bob, at what point do you say, oh, yeah, that big crowd is safe, but that big crowd isn't safe? You know, who's going to decide this, okay? That's the question. And I'm not trying to sound like an alarmist yet, and I know how many people have died from the flu and some of the worst flu outbreaks, and I'm trying not to be hysterical about this. I'm going to go wash my hands between now and parting shots, but
sing happy birthday twice.
But you understand what I'm saying? Why is a big opening day crowd in baseball somehow more safe than a first round game? And
it's based on the idea of the known situation, virus person in the area where it is. But that doesn't mean somebody can't walk in from, you know. I mean, this is it's impossible to.
We got a U.S. senator who's self-quarantined. Ted Cruz is self-quarantined because he ran into the guy at the CPAC convention who had this virus.
Yeah. All right. Well, on to hopefully more hopeful things with our parting shots. But before we do that, a word from our friends at ZipRecruiter.
The best teams all start with great talent. But finding the right people can be a challenge, and filling the critical roles you need to build a high-performing team is no small order. We're talking long hours on the road scouting players, then training them on position-specific techniques. And when it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast. From healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/reporters. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites and then uses their powerful matching technology to scan thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. ZipRecruiter is so effective, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter find a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/reporters. That's ZipRecruiter.com/REPORTERS. ZipRecruiter.com/reporters. No more endless searching, sorting, and suffering. Find the one you need for the job fast and free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/reporters now and get it done. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, time for our more optimistic parting shots. Here's Bob Ryan.
I'm afraid there's no good news here either, Mitch.
Now, parting shots.
The following is a quote from last weekend's annual MIT Sloan Analytics Sports Conference. Some of you may not remember, but baseball used to be fun to watch. The man who said that was Bill James. Bill James! That's the Bill James who loves baseball and has influenced baseball perhaps as much as anyone in the past 30 years. Well, he and Tony La Russa. There are scores of baseball people who have been influenced by Bill James, who taught us to look at baseball in a very different way. Bill James is worried about the glacial pace of the game, where 3 hours is considered speedy. James said that, quote, "Baseball is on an unsustainable track," unquote, and heading toward a crisis. What frustrates me, and I would guess Bill James, is that the people who govern those dreary games do not care. Managers and players just want to win. They aren't going anywhere. They can sleep in. They don't have to go to work at 8:30 or get the kids off to school. Somehow, some way, someone must make them care. I mean, if you've lost Bill James, you're in very deep excrement.
My buddy Pete, one of the smartest New York sports fans I know, has been referring to the Brooklyn Nets for the past couple of years as the good son of New York professional basketball. Just not this weekend, when the Nets shocked New York fans on both sides of the East River by firing Kenny Atkinson, as we've discussed, who happens to have been one of the best in the business the past few seasons, and who is apparently to blame now that Kevin Durant still hasn't played a minute in Brooklyn, and Kyrie Irving, stop me if you've heard this one before, has only played 20 games. We all wanted to understand what the hell happened here, but got no help from general manager Sean Marks, whose entire rambling explanation came down to this, as far as I could tell. We're just not into Kenny anymore. And immediately got me wondering, as I said before, if we've got a frisky new owner in town in Joe Tsai, who decided he wants a big name coach for his team next season when the Nets, wait for it, try to take everything to the next level. And maybe they will. But if they do reach dizzying heights that they seek, they ought to take a look down to where they were when Kenny Atkinson started coaching them. They were a joke. No longer. That's why the joke this weekend was firing this guy.
Cassius Winston is a unique player. For one thing, he's really good and he's a senior, which means he stayed in school and many others with lesser talent jumped to the NBA. Secondly, he's unique because of a tragic reason. His brother was struck by a train and killed at the start of the season. I can't imagine carrying that weight through everyday life, much less trying to lead a basketball team and be a college student while you're mourning. Yet somehow Winston has trudged through all of that and continued to be Tom Izzo's most important player. And in yesterday's regular season finale, before a raucous Breslin Center crowd, he scored 27 points against Ohio State and all but willed the Michigan State Spartans to a share of the Big Ten title. Considering the rocky road that they've had, their injuries, the absences, and all that Winston himself has had to overcome, that's pretty special. And it would be nice to see a senior lead a Michigan State team back to the Final Four, as Tom Izzo specializes in that particular brand, particularly with guards. But even if they go out early, Cassius Winston deserves all kinds of props. For coming back to school in the first place, for standing up after having every excuse to fall down, and for leading the way for his team. Hats off to the senior guard for the green and white. That's going to wrap things up for today's edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast, which we do twice a week. Mondays and Thursdays, so we'll be back in just a couple days. You can catch this podcast wherever you get popular podcasts, on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, all the other platforms. If you like what you heard, leave us a comment. If you don't like what you heard, leave us a comment and leave us a rating. If you don't mind, we always appreciate that. Until we see you on Thursday, on behalf of Bob Ryan and Mike Lupica, this is Mitch Albom wishing you a great week.